Hello everyone, this is Expose 247, where we turn the light on Christ. We are glad you're joining us this week. I remain the Hanko lady, we call her by name. With me, as usual, is...
Yeah, my name is Peter Adewale. Welcome again to another exciting episode of Expose.
Okay. Last week we had a wonderful time and we were talking more about the goodness of God and people, that if people are not careful, some might run away and wound themselves, running away from that providence. Yeah. Would you want to remind our viewers or anybody coming in for the very first time where we are in this Prodigal Father series?
Last episode, we actually explored the Prodigal Father series, and we looked at the younger son, and we actually looked at the very point that triggered the U-turn of the prodigal, of this younger son, back to the father. And one thing we pinpointed in the Luke 15 parable was quite unlike what we might have thought. What drove him on the journey back home was a deep reflection of the goodness of his father. And that was where the U-turn started. And so that's where we actually stopped. So we think what we found out now is a genuine repentance, a genuine turnaround, starts from the revelation of the goodness of the Father.
And I remember last week you were trying to remind our viewers about this Jonathan grandson, Saul's grandson, about the reaction to the goodness. You know, where we see the younger son is like running in to that goodness. We see someone running away and wounding himself.
Yeah.
That was the highlight for me last week.
We established this last episode on last Saturday, and we said the reason why so many people are not productive, or so many Christians are not productive in their Christian work, is a lack of revelation of how good God is. Now, we know God is good, and the best reflection we have of God's goodness is to use our human experience about God's goodness. But Jesus said something in the Gospels. He said, even when men are so good, the goodness of men can still not beat God's goodness. That's why Jesus said that if you've been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father. So what Jesus is trying to say is, it doesn't matter how good we think a father can be from our human experience. Jesus is simply saying God's goodness is far greater than man's goodness. That's why Jesus said, made that statement.
Yes, I hate to draw you back, but it seems like I've not recovered from the last episode, because I remember your hand drew on that, the people with the talent, you see, the perception. So I remember that hand drew, and it kept me thinking.
That's true. You know, the parable of the talent, we emphasize that. And we noticed that the reason why the man who was given one talent, the reason he was unproductive with the one talent, was because of the revelation he had of the master who gave him the talent. You know, he said something? He said,
I know
you are a wicked man, and that you wanted to reap where you did not sow. And that's the reason why his one talent remained one talent. So what we're simply saying, that in Christianity,
perception is key.
Productivity cannot go beyond the revelation of the goodness of God. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, behold, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. That's it. And I think that was one of the problem of the Pharisee, why they had what we call hypocritical, you know, lifestyle, because they don't even understand the extent of the goodness of the Father. So if there's one thing we've established so far in the Luke 15 story, we've established the fact that the younger son began the journey of repentance at the point he reflected on the goodness of his father. What did he say? He said, even my father's hired servants have enough to eat and to spare. So it means, what am I doing here? So I think a good minister of the gospel will not get genuine repentance from people unless they understand the degree of God's goodness, which Jesus said is even much more better than the best of fathers on this earthly realm. And that's it.
I just hope, like last week, like I encourage our viewers to go and reflect Yeah. You know, that's the foundation, the first step of turning back,
yeah,
of coming back home. Homecoming is reflecting on the goodness of the Father.
Yeah.
I just hope we've started reflecting. I have started. I hope we will still keep on in the journey of reflecting and getting this perception of the Father.
Yeah.
Right. So this today,
yeah,
we will be going to.
Yeah. Today we're still exploring the dynamics of repentance. We're looking at this younger son and seeing his turnaround. And you see, we'll be looking at the same Luke 15 and. Okay. From verse 17 and to verse 18. Now, last episode, we talked about verse 17. So we make progress to verse 18. Luke 15, verse 18. See what it said. Now, I want you to watch the statement, the thought pattern, the thinking pattern of this younger son. Look at verse 18. He said, I will arise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Now, you see, this is quite important. I thought that if this younger son was going to go back home to the father, I thought his thinking should have been, oh, I've wasted my father's resources. Oh, I've wasted my father's inheritance. Oh, I've done something evil. Oh, I've actually wasted my life. I've made my father not to be happy with what I did. That should have been, that's how we think about repentance. See, when we talk about repentance, we're always thinking about we've done something wrong and we need to be sorry for what we did wrong. But look at this younger son's statement in his heart. The picture or the what was paramount for him was about what he did against the father. The father was the key figure in question. See, when people repent of sins, we always talk about the activities. We talk about the things that we did wrong. Forgetting the fact that it's not about what we did wrong, it's about to whom we did wrong.
So we need to establish
this is about the Father. Now, if you were on this episode with us some weeks ago, we established one thing. We said sin is not about the fact that we did something wrong. Sin is about identity. We said that, right?
Yeah.
It's about we use things and activities in our lives to define ourselves. It doesn't matter if that thing is good or if that thing is wrong. It's about we deriving identity from the things that we did. And so the major crux of sin is about the fact that we have chosen other things outside the Father. So we've chosen something else but the Father. That's what sin is all about. For example, when people steal, or people actually are becoming covetous, whatever. Let's see what the scripture says about this. If you're there, you can open Hebrews chapter 13. You see, with this parable of the younger son, Jesus redefined the old concept of sin. And he also redefined the old concept of repentance with this parable. Now, if you look at Hebrews 13, there's something there that is quite revelational for us to understand about the homecoming of this younger son. Hebrews 13, can you read that? Now, if you read from verse 5. Now, watch this. Hebrews 13, 5. Now, see what the scripture has to say. What does it say?
Let your conversation be without covetousness.
Okay.
And be content with such things as ye have.
Okay.
For he hath said.
Now, can you see? He says, let your lifestyle be without covetousness. Don't covet. Don't look at someone else and say, well, oh, I wish I had what they have. Oh, I wish they can just drop dead so I can take what belongs to them. He said, don't covet. Now, watch this. What does he say next?
I said, be content.
Be content. Be happy with what you have. Then what did he say next?
For he had said.
Now, he said, for he had said. Now, wait there. He said, the reason you cannot afford to be covetous is because he, somebody said something. If you end up being covetous, you're not trusting he that said.
Something.
It's about him. So anytime we become covetous, it's not about the activity of covetousness. It's about we are not trusting he that said. It's about him. It's about we don't trust him that he would supply. We don't trust what he said. So what we're looking at when it comes to covetousness then, it's not about the covetousness. It's about we don't even trust him that said. The younger son in this parable understood that whatever he did with the inheritance was he was trusting to get a sense of value, identity, or definition from the things he took from the Father. And these things were trying to feed his identity, and it was an attack on the Father. This is the reason why the Pharisees got the issue of sin wrong. Anytime we commit a sin, we say, oh God, I did something wrong. I lied against this person, or I lied about that. It's not about that. It's about the fact that when we do those things are an indication of something much more serious. Not trusting the Father. That's why the notion of repentance is not about the things that we did wrong. It's about to whom that we did wrong. This is the foundation of repentance. This is the whole bottom line of genuine repentance. See, anytime we repent and our repentance is about the activities of what we did wrong, we end up becoming Pharisees. Because the Pharisees thought that repentance was all about you what making sure that you don't do the wrong thing. What we are simply saying is, even if you do the right thing, as long as that thing was meant to replace the identity that only the Father can give, that is sin. And when we repent, we're saying, Father, you are my life. Not those things. You are my definition. And this is the old bottom line of what repentance is. Now, there's something that comes to my mind, and I want our viewers to think about that. Anytime people want to give their life to Jesus, Romans chapter 10, we don't have time to read that today. What's the old bottom line of salvation? The scripture says, if you confess with your mouth, what? The Lord Jesus. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that's the very first step into salvation. If you say with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord, nothing else is supreme to me anymore. This is your foundation. That's why I've heard some preachers say, well, the whole sinner's prayer is just too easy. Or the sinner's prayer doesn't cut it. People should come and say, oh, this is what I've done wrong. This is what I've done. I've committed that activity. I've done this and done that. Oh, God, forgive me. But if you notice, Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be what? Saved. So what's the first step? Confessing that Jesus is the Lord. What does that statement mean? I'm saying he is supreme. Is all that matters to me. It defines my worth. It defines my identity. It defines my value. Is my value. Is my supply. Is my provision. I don't need to be covetous. He can sustain me. I don't need to lie. Can you see that? He can provide. He's my everything. I don't need to fight. So this is the point. So salvation really, which is the starting point, is a matter of saying Jesus is what? Is Lord, is all I need, is all I have. And this is the whole point about the repentance of the younger brother. What did he say? He said, I've sinned against you, heaven, and you, Father. It's about the Father. Sin is about the Father. That's what we're saying. And repentance must be about the Father as well. Even though we've done things wrong, but there's always a sin behind the sin. And the sin behind the sin is not trusting the identity that only the Father can give. This is the point. The younger person got into in this verse 18. He said, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you as a person. See, he didn't even talk about the wasting that he did of the inheritance. He didn't talk about the activities he has performed. He didn't even say anything. He was quiet about the very activities he did wrong. But if we talk about repentance in this day, we talk about, I spent the inheritance I should not spend. I did this. But in the focus of the younger son, in his repentance, his statement went all the way back to what? The Father. It's about the Father. It's about not trusting the Father.
If there's anything anybody should take out of this, is just to know what we need to be quiet about, what we need to talk more about. Just yeah. Like the journey of this younger son started with the perception of the Father, reflecting on the goodness of the Father.
Yeah.
He did not stop at that.
Yeah.
Then, you know, He putly know where to put the Father. The Father's place in this scheme of repentance is like, no, I've sinned against the Father.
It's about all the Father.
About the Father.
It's about the Father.
And we should be loud about that.
It's about the Father. Even sin is about the Father. It's about trusting anything else but the Father. So when we're repenting, it's about saying, it's about the Father. That's why his repentance was all about the Father. Can you see?
So we need to realign our focus in this, our repentance journey, to know that the Father is in the central scheme and everything revolves around the Father. First, we start, just like the younger son, by reflecting on the goodness of the Father. We reflect on the goodness.
And anything we did wrong, anything we do wrong in our lives that we think is the wrong act, it all boils down to not taking the identity that only the Father can give.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. This is why when we seek revelation through the Word, it's trying to get this identity that the Holy Father can give, to get it into our spirit. Anytime people miss that, they will always go doing the wrong thing. It's not about the thing, it's about what informs those wrong things. It's about lack of trust in what the Father said. That's why Hebrews 13:5 says, He has said, I will never leave you. So why are you covetous?
So you start coveting the moment you forget that He has said.
If you don't take what He gives, and anytime we repent, our repentance always goes back to the fact that, oh, I didn't take what the Father said about me serious. I didn't trust the Father enough. This is the bottom line of repentance. Repentance is beyond the activities of the things we did wrong. It's about to whom we did wrong. It's about we didn't trust the Father. Any repentance that brings it down to the activities of what we did wrong is Pharisee. It's Pharisee repentance. They are all concerned about the activities that we did wrong. But this younger son, on his U-turn journey back home, he said, Father, this is about you. It's you that I did something wrong with. It's you. It's about you. See that? So repentance must still be about the Father. It's about the Father. And this is what the verse 18 did say to us. If you, there's something, Uncle Lady, before you go on. There's something, we need to think about. If you know in Genesis, the reason that we always like to go back to Genesis when we're talking about sin and disobedience is because that's where it started from. The Genesis is where everything started from. If you think about Genesis, look at the way Adam and Eve actually fell and disobeyed. What did the serpent say to them? The serpent said, did God say? You cannot eat of any fruit in the garden. Did God say? So if you think about it, the whole foundation of their disobedience was not trusting what the Father said. This is the bottom line of sin. So please, anytime you see anyone fall into an error or you see yourself going into things you shouldn't do, please don't be too much concerned about the activities themselves. If you are, you're not doing genuine repentance. Be more concerned about the fact that you're not taking the identity that God has given you. Be more concerned about the fact that you're not trusting the revelation of God's word for you in that situation. That's why you're looking at other options. So a true repentance starts from looking at the Father.
I wish we could go on and on this, but yeah. I think at this moment we just have to stop here. But I just want to remind our viewers, if this blessed you in any way, we might just want to share it with your contacts so that other people can get blessed as well. So as we go this week, we just have to remember, if you're so quick in listing what you've done wrong and you're tabling what I've done right or wrong, you know, that is not the way to...
There's a deeper reason for why you did wrong, and that's it. There's a deeper reason.
So you need to realign and put the Father in focus.
Yeah.
Putting that this is against the Father.
Did we take Him at His word? Did we believe what He said about our lives?
So you that doubted is sin.
That's good. Now, there's something you just said before we actually leave out on this episode. Romans chapter 14, I think the last verse.
He
said, of saying, if you didn't trust what the Father said, if you didn't trust what the Word of God says about your life, it doesn't matter what you do after that. He said, whatever you do after that is sin.
He said, he that doubted is damned, even if he hits.
Because if you don't really trust what He said about you. I mean, like I said the other time, we are more concerned about what is right and what is wrong, but God is not concerned about what is right and what is wrong. And there's something, please pardon me before we close this on this
fine,
episode.
Okay.
When Adam fell in the Garden of Eden with his wife, if you notice, when God came in the cool of the garden, and God said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said to God, I was afraid, I was naked, and I went to hide myself. Now, when God then asked the next question, I forgot what God was going to say. Oh, Adam, that's true. You're naked. You actually had to hide yourself. That's a very good thing to do. You have to, you know, cover yourself up. No. What God said to Adam was, who told you? God ignored the, if you might put it in the way, the expertise of Adam, or the good thinking of Adam, or the fact that Adam was very, very sensible to cover up his nakedness. God bypassed that activity of Adam, and God was more concerned about, I need to know where you got the revelation from.
Who told you?
What informed your activity? God is more interested in what informed our activity rather than the activity. So that's why God is not so keen on did we do the right thing or we did the wrong thing. It's about where did that revelation come from. So what we're simply saying today is the younger son in this Luke 15 parable in verse 18 understood that his repentance is about the father. It's about the fact that he actually didn't trust the identity that the father gave him. And that's all about the bottom line of repentance.
Yeah, I'm afraid of saying anything more because it might lead us into another Bible verse and this will not, it doesn't seem to be have an end. So till we see you next week, I just hope you're going to continue with us and you're going to continue putting the Father back in focus.
Yeah, it's about him.
Repenting.
It's about him.
Remembering what he said, putting him in focus. Yeah. So till we see you next week, we want to say bye.
Bye, thank
and
you.
And enjoy the goodness of the Father.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye.